This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. The next three will have basically the same introduction. So podcast numbers 33, 34, and 35 will take three separate parts of a panel discussion that was held on Monday morning, March 9th, on the government and its role in the economy. The panel included Congressman James McGovern, State Senator Scott Brown, State Senator Karen Spilka, Majority Leader of the House, our own Representative Jim Valley, Town Administrator Jeff Nutting, and Town Council Chairperson Chris Feely. The panel was held, as I mentioned, at Franklin High School and put together by Michael Walsh. The moderator was Franklin High School senior April Crean. The session was well attended by students, but only a handful of citizens took part. Now you can share in that opportunity. What will follow is the audio recording of the panel discussion split into three sections. For timeline, it's approximately 20 minutes for each of the first two and approximately 10 minutes for the third. The first part covers the introduction of the panel, the moderator, and the very first question, to which all the panel had a chance to talk to. The second part covers three questions. The third part also covers three questions, and the closing is cut off by the bell for the change of the class periods and the students had to leave. Thanks to all the panelists for sharing their thoughts in this forum. Thanks also to Mike Walsh for the opportunity to provide this recording for you who missed this to take part.
Good morning, everyone. This morning I have the distinct pleasure of bringing some honored guests to you, to speak to you, and with you. Mr. Light is out of the building today, and I was asked this morning by Mr. Walsh and the members of the History Department, Social Studies Department, to bring the greetings of the school to our invited guests, introduce the invited guests, and then introduce you to your moderator, who is April Crean. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce, first of all, who's here. And again, welcome them to Franklin High School. We're very honored to have you in the building to speak with our students and to our students. But this morning, I'd like to say hello to Congressman James McGovern, State Senator Scott Brown, Senator Karen Spilka, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, State Representative and Majority Leader Jim Valley, who I believe is on his way, Town Administrator, my good friend Jeff Nutting, and Town Council Chair Chris Feely. Also, we have some invited guests in the audience this morning. We welcome you to Franklin High, and also hopefully you can speak to some of our students to get an idea of where they're going and where they're coming from. But again, I will begin to do the introductions for you. We are honored to have Congressman Jim McGovern with us today, currently serving his seventh term in Congress. Congressman McGovern was first sworn in as U.S. Representative for Massachusetts' 3rd Congressional District in 1997. Congressman McGovern is the Vice Chairman of the powerful House Rules Committee, which sets the terms for debate and amendments on most legislation, and a member of the House Budget Committee. He is also co-chair of both the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission and the House Hunger Caucus. Also with us today are both the state senators that represent Franklin, both of whom were elected in 2004. Senator Scott Brown serves on several committees, including Consumer Protection and Professional Licensure, Education, Election Laws, Public Safety and Homeland Security, Veterans and Federal Affairs. He is a 28-year member of the Massachusetts National Guard, where he currently holds the rank of Lieutenant Colonel in the Judge Advocate General's Court. Senator Karen Spilka is the first Senate Chair of the newly seated Joint Committee on Children and Families. Senator Spilka uses her background and experience in social work, law, and disability issues to continue her strong and vocal advocacy on concerns that have been important to her since long before her time as a legislator. She also serves as Vice Chair of the Joint Committee on Election Laws and sits on the Joint Committee on Education, Economic Development, and Emerging Technologies and Healthcare Financing. Franklin's State Representative Jim Valley, who just arrived, when he was in the Valley, was with DiLorenzo, one of the assistant principals from Mr. Light today, is also with us, a Franklin native and proud product of the town's public schools. Representative Valley graduated from Franklin High School in 1984, has represented Franklin in the House since 1994. He was appointed to the Massachusetts House of Representatives majority leader this year. He also served as the Assistant Vice Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. In his leadership role there, Representative Valley outlines the annual state budget and reviews all legislation involving state funds. In addition to serving his constituents in the House of Representatives, Representative Valley serves our nation in the Massachusetts National Guard as Lieutenant Colonel and a Command Judge Advocate for the 151st Troop Command. He is also an infantry officer and previously served with the 181st Infantry Regiment, 29th Light Division, Light Infantry Division. Two leaders of our town are also with us today. Our town administrator is Mr. Jeff Nutting. Mr. Nutting has served as Franklin's town administrator for 12 years and has over 30 years' experience in town management and town government. As our town administrator, Mr. Nutting is the chief executive of Franklin and is responsible for the town council, for the effective administration of all town affairs. Mr. Nutting was recently honored by his peers by being elected president of the Massachusetts Municipal Association, and as such would be a statewide spokesperson and advocate for local government. Our town council chair, Mr. Chris Feely, to whom Mr. Nutting reports, is also with us today. Mr. Feely is the only volunteer on this panel today, as the member of our town council receives no salary. A lifelong resident of Franklin, Mr. Feely is also a Franklin High School graduate. This is Mr. Feely's 8th year on the town council. He has been a member on the Design Review Committee, Franklin Housing Authority, served on the board of the YMCA, and is currently on the Franklin High School Building Committee. He is employed as an accountant. Stay with me a little more. Our moderator today is April Creed. April will graduate at the top of her class this spring. She currently serves as the editor of both our school newspaper and our literary magazine, and is a member of the National Honor Society. She's a contributor to the Milford Daily News. Let's give a warm welcome to our panel and our moderator. April, it's all yours.
Yesterday that the global economy will contract this year for the first time since the 1940s. The outlook is grim as we face staggering job losses, falling home prices, a swarm of foreclosures, and a credit crunch. Here in Massachusetts, Governor Deval Patrick has proposed huge cuts in local aid. Here in Franklin, we are staring at a $5 million budget cap. A variety of solutions have been proposed and experimented with at all levels. Deficit spending to stimulate the economy, bailouts for Wall Street and U.S. automakers, assistance for individuals facing foreclosure, toll increases on the Mass Pike, legalization of slot parlors, increases in the gas tax, and freezes of worker salaries. These decisions, however, can only be made with much discussion over the right and wrong way for government to fix the economy. My first question to our panelists is this: what do you think is the proper role of government in our economy?
Congressman McGovern, let me begin. I think there is a very important role for government to play. I think part of the reason why we're in this mess we're in is that government has been indifferent over the years to some of the concerns of average people. We've seen people losing their homes. This just didn't happen overnight. It's been kind of a steady drumbeat of foreclosures. And quite frankly, we should have responded to it a long time ago more forcefully. We just passed a stimulus package of $800 billion to invest in cities and states and towns, which I hope will help stimulate the economy by creating jobs and by trying to turn the psychology of the economy around. You know, one of the problems we have is that when people think things are bad, they tend to not want to spend their money. If people think that there's a possibility they may lose their job in a year, then they'll save their money, they won't go on vacation, they won't go out to eat. And so what we're trying to do right now in Washington is respond, is to show that government actually does have a conscience, that it does represent you, that in fact we want to help stimulate the economy. That's what happened during the Great Depression. Right now we face the worst economic crisis in my lifetime. But I am confident, having said that, I am confident that there's a way out of this, and we're beginning to take the steps with the economic stimulus package. We just passed a housing foreclosure bill that I think will help stem the tide of foreclosures. And we need to make sure that our financial institutions remain solvent. The bottom line is that much of our economy is based on lending. Small businesses rely on banks and financial institutions to lend them so they can meet their payrolls. And people rely on institutions to get lending for everything from wash machines to homes. So I think that what we're trying to do right now in Washington is respond. And respond in a meaningful and big way. And my hope is that some of the efforts that we've been engaged in during the last few weeks will actually be felt here in Franklin. You know, that the town government here, the town manager, will actually see some of the benefits of what we're trying to do. But I think government has to respond, and I think we're beginning to do that.
Thank you. And I want to thank Jim for all that he's doing for all of us in Washington. He's doing a great job. I agree. I think that the government definitely has a role to play in times like these. And I think that two of the main functions of government, particularly state government, is to provide funds to make sure that our vulnerable don't fall through the safety nets. Our children, our disabled, our seniors, folks that need services that otherwise would not be able to function, let alone be self-sufficient, if government did not provide some basic funding or services or programs to help them get through the really tough times, as well as folks that may be laid off to help them stem the tide through the times until they can get another job and be back on their feet. So the first function, I think, is to help the vulnerable, help people go through the tough times. And the second one is to provide targeted investments so that we can function and work towards a full recovery. For example, targeted investments may be in infrastructure. It may be in certain sectors of the economy to get more jobs going, because the best way out of a recession is to get more people back to work, to get more employees on so that they are paying their taxes, the companies are thriving, they're paying their taxes. So I think that that's the second major function of government, is the targeted investments. And at the same time, the one thing that I feel that we as a state can be doing right now as well is to provide some relief, and I'm sure you'll hear this from the folks who are on the council and the town administrator, is the municipal relief. I think that that's another thing that a state can do, is to provide some changes so that we provide our towns, cities and towns across the state, municipal relief so that they can function as well.
And just to speak regionally, actually, I'm not going to focus on the national issues, but in our area, I look at my role as trying to protect what we've all, us three here in the local delegation, have earned and gotten for this community and for the actual district. In addition to that, we, in the Senate at least, we're looking to do some reforms versus raising revenues. What does that mean in real terms? It means, you know, to take advantage of a lot of the ability to streamline, save money, consolidate, merge, do whatever we can to squeeze every last nickel out of the budget of waste and then see what we need thereafter and whether we'll need to rely on maybe some federal dollars or some citizen taxes and things like that. So I feel very strongly and agree with the Senate President very strongly that we should be doing reforms. This is the time to do it, and then we can ask you and your parents for additional assistance if we need to, because right now the mentality up there appears to be, you know, tax, tax, tax. I'm going to tax beer, candy, soda, looking to put a tracking device in your car potentially to tax your mileage, gas tax increase, toll tax, toll increases. So there's no real talk, except in the Senate, that I'm aware of reforming to try to streamline and save money for us.
Thank you. The first thought I have is that we're all in this together, and that means government, that means the people, that means all of us. And finger pointing is not constructive. I think that local, state, and federal government leaders need to work together, because this is very organic, and we can't look at really this as a local problem or state problem or federal problem. It's really a global problem. So at all levels, I think we need to work very closely together and be prepared, because this isn't over. This is, I think, just the beginning. Believe it or not, I think that we're going through a global shift, both financially and with regard to our workforce, what products are bought and sold globally. I think this is a shift that is monumental, that probably happens every 100 years or so. So I think we need to maintain a close dialogue and be very nimble. I agree with my colleague, Senator Brown, that we need to look at revenue collection very fairly. If you meet with one group of people, they say you need to tax more. If you meet with another group of people that are more on the corporate side, they said they'll say you need to tax less. So I think what's most important is that we throw everything on the table, look at everything fresh, and look at revenue collection, doing so in the most fair way possible. I think there is a lot of streamlining reform proposals on the table. I think we need to embrace those. I think we need to look at more regionalization to save costs. I think all the fiefdoms and all the way that we've been doing business as a government and as well as corporations need to change, because the world is changing, and with technology, we can save money. I think we can save a lot of money if we look at doing business more efficiently. I think this is also a great opportunity, I think, for government to become more effective and more lean and to reform so that we can provide services to more people, because the scope of services for government has dramatically increased since I've been in office. People's expectations of what government does in providing services has increased geometrically since I've taken office. So obviously the cost of government would go up proportionately. I think that there are no sacred cows. We need to look at everyone's salaries and benefits that work in government. Realistically, when the economies are contracting, which they often do, because economies grow and they contract, they can't always grow. We'd love them to always grow. But even when they were growing, our expenses outpaced our growth. So living on borrowed money is not a sane or a realistic way to approach business, whether you're a corporation or whether you're government, and both are doing so. So I think we need to be honest with people what we can afford and what we can spend. I think we need to be honest with people and fair in the way that we collect revenue. And I think everything's on the table. I think it's a very dynamic time, and I think government needs to embrace it and not fear it, because you elect us to lead, and I think we need to step up to the plate. And I can tell you that from my experience at the local level, state level, and federal level, this particular team up here, has a very good working relationship, and we have a great dialogue, and I think you do have responsive elected officials. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to say that, kind of echo what Jim had to say, everybody to our left, we need in partnership in order to bring you the education that you deserve. Because at the end of the day, your services ultimately should come from the local government. But we can't do that without state government providing us lots of funds and opportunities, and the federal government passes it down. So it is truly a partnership. I think the issue is, you read all about the economic crisis of late, but I can tell you the town of Franklin, we've been struggling, as well as communities across the Commonwealth, for many, many years, trying to figure out how to make ends meet, how to do things better, how to do them less expensive, and it's a never-ending challenge. You know, here in the school, you have 60 less teachers than we had a couple of years ago. You have bus fees, you have, you know, all things have gone up, and so we struggle, the council struggles with a little crisis in our own economy every year, and we work closely with these folks to try to help us overcome those. But it's going to continue for the foreseeable future until we're able to get a community where everybody's in it together, where we balance off the cost of government with how much we need from the citizens in order to make it work. It costs $10,000 for each one of you to sit in this room today. That's what a public education in Franklin costs. And that comes from your parents, it comes from the state government, it comes from the federal government. And those costs are not going to go away, and the demands on education are going to continue to get more and more and more. So it is about the partnership, it is about communication, it is about give and take, and continually finding better ways to do things for everybody's benefit. That's all we do all day long at this table.
Just briefly, I think the original question was, what is government's role in all of this? And I think everyone's addressed the challenges of trying to come up with the funding to deliver what those services should be. And locally here in Franklin, those services should be public safety and education, a safe community to live in. And what all these people have spoken about is what the challenges are to provide those services to you.
This podcast has been a public service provided to my fellow citizens of Franklin, Mass. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach me directly via the links on that page. The musical intro and closing is from the PodSafe Music Network, John Schmidt. Powerful, exhilarating piano music. I hope you enjoy.